Good snowy Monday to you and yours. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, and live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. And if you are tuning into that stream, you'll see a nice piece of hardware here live in studio. We'll talk about that here very, very shortly. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Loaded show for you here today on this Monday installment of the show. We've got bracket checks, we've got the jump, we've got our annual MLB prediction show, so you don't even need to watch all 162 or listen to 162 right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, although we would encourage it, as of course the home for your Minnesota Twins is right here on the program on these fair airwaves. Right here on 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. And opening day is coming up here on Thursday. That'll be at 3:10 on Fox Sports Aberdeen as the Twins, they are going to be on the road in Big Mo taking on Kansas City. Looking forward to that. And we've got a weekend to recap. And as it pertains to some high school boys tennis, we've got a new coaching change here in the Hub City that's been announced. That was announced on Saturday. And she will actually be joining us here live in studio coming up on Thursday. Just announced there for the first time. Looking forward to that. Northern State baseball, Northern State softball, your Minnesota Timberwolves in action this last weekend, and the Wild, too, as well. So a loaded show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Daily show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him Mr. Unlimited. He is the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing good.
Let's try that one more time as I turn your microphone on. That typically helps. Hello. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Happy to be here on this snowy Monday. I'll tell you what. Seemed like it didn't snow as much as what they were calling for over the weekend, which is good news, but the wind, I'll tell you what, it's killer. That wind kicks up a little bit, and the visibility on the roads are pretty low out there.
My parents texted me. They said, how's the weather out there? And I said, well, it's not great, but we went from 10 to 18 inches to 8 to 14 to 6 to 12, now down to 2 to 7. So, you know, I'm glad that the weather is not as bad as it could have been, but it's like it's one of the only jobs in all of America. You can be so off base. It's like working in the government and being a weatherman or weatherwoman, and you can still keep your job. It's great.
Yeah, no, that surprised me. I went out last night. I was like, oh, I probably should get some of the snow off my car. And I go out there, and all the wind just blew it pretty much off of my car. So I was ready to go, and I'm like, oh, they were calling for about 10 to 18, and it doesn't seem like we got about 4 to 5 inches out there. So wasn't bad, happy for it. I mean, it's late March. Let's get some nice weather out here.
I'm all in for that. I'm all in to be on the link somewhere at some point in time. But definitely nice to have our first weekend off of the sports play-by-play side of things, which was definitely different. We've been, you know, busting our butts for the last, I don't know, 5.5, 6, 7 months or so. And just nice to have a kind of a decompressive sort of weekend. I had a lot of great family time with my daughter this last weekend. We hit church on Saturday night, and that's about the only time we left the home because we were getting ready for World War III to start up with the weather. So we're just thinking, all right, let's just go ahead and stay home and just have some family time, and it was solid.
Yeah, I agree. It was a lot of fun just being able to decompress. I was able to go, as you could see with this trophy here, to the 24th.
I'm gonna set you up on that.
Yeah, 24th annual. Oh, I know, I completely messed up. But the 24th annual B103 All-Star Games, I was doing that this weekend there in Sisseton. I was an honorary coach, but yeah, it was a nice weekend to kind of just decompress. I watched a lot of March Madness and a little NBA as well. I know you're not the biggest fan of that. But also snuck in a little NHL. I've been following the Wild here, too. So I'll tell you, they're trying to sneak their way into this playoff deal here. They've been on the outside looking in, and they're just on the outside looking in. I want to see them make the playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be really, really nice. And we'd probably talk a little bit more Wild playoff action there, should they certainly make it. And I've been following them too as well, with just me putting the nightly sports together and what have you, and they've had a pretty decent stretch here for the most part. I know they've stubbed their toe a couple times, but they've hung in there, and they're certainly knocking on the door there to a certain degree. And I will say that I'm a big fan of playoff hockey, and especially when I've got a vested interest. When I was growing up in Chicagoland in my college days, when the Blackhawks had their really, really good run. I mean, I was the biggest Fairweather Blackhawks fan there was out there. I was all in on it. And since then, they've been kind of crummy, so I haven't watched as much. But playoff hockey, there's something special about it. And, you know, especially when you've got that quest for the cup, there's nothing like it.
Well, all you got to do is get in the NHL playoffs, which is the great thing about it. When you're talking about playoffs in professional sports,
yes,
I think hockey's up there with maybe football at the top of the mountain, because I think in the NBA you pretty much know who's going to win those series, at least in the first round. There's that unpredictability factor in the NHL that I love. I'm a diehard New York Rangers fan. They're having an amazing season. They lead the league in points in the East with 98, 47-20. They've been so much fun to watch this year. So I got a vesting interest because New York, the Rangers, haven't hoisted a cup since 1994. And I've been a part of some pretty heartbreaking playoff series defeats in my fandomship here. So I'd love to see that happen.
New York Rangers, huh? That's kind of random.
Yeah, it is kind of random. My dad, he grew up loving the Rangers because they were on television when he grew up. He grew up a little bit outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And that was the team that was, for whatever reason, on television a lot. And he kind of carried that on to me. My brother's a diehard Flyers fan, so it's kind of...
That's what I would have
anticipated. Yeah, they kind of clash there a little bit. So that's the more you know.
All right, there you go. We got a lot of local notes to get to today for sure on the program, but just like you mentioned, we got to drop it in. But more specifically, you have to talk to me and all of our listeners out there about this beautiful trophy live in studio. You said you're doing your best Rob Weinmeister. Now,
yes,
that's a great reference because Coach Weinmeister came in here the one day Facebook wasn't working and Zuckerberg was out to lunch or something like that. But we've got it going on here in studio. We've got the Boys B103 KBWS All-Star Trophy. Walk me through your weekend. Well, what's all this?
Yeah, so 24th annual B103 All-Star Games there in Sisseton. I put that together, or helped put it together, the last couple years, and I got a phone call in the middle of the season. Hey, you want to be an honorary coach? I'm like, heck yeah. Yeah, I've
Does it involve throwing chairs across the floor like Bobby Knight?
I was like, I've never coached before, but yeah, no problem. So made the trip out there to Sisseton and caught up with some old friends that, you know, haven't seen in quite some time, and was able to coach the girls and boys. I was the girls and boys coach, and I just wanted to win. You know, I'm like, all right, coaching debut, this should be a lot of fun. I lost the first game. The girls, I was team red. We battled to the end, but I didn't have Hannah Leverson on my team, and that was a big problem. And she had 18 points. Also, Kaylin Kelly for Florence Henry. She was on the other team as well. Two really good players in Class A for sure. They dominated the game. I had Chloe Longager on my team, and I had Emily Nielsen, and they had great performances, as well as Haley Lavacek of Florence Henry, and we battled but just came up a little bit short. But in the boys' game, we had a really nice win. Pretty much wire-to-wire win. Tyson Stevenson and Jackson Wildung led the way for yours truly squad. I'll tell you, Wildung had 20 points. He was the game MVP. Tyson Stevenson, he won the slam dunk contest. He put down some hammers on the slam dunk contest of Hamlin.
What did he have? Behind the back stuff?
He had a windmill rim rattler. He also went behind the back, one of those behind the back jams. It was pretty sweet. He put on a good show, but he had a nice game, and they were giving out trophies, and they said all-star team winner, you know, receiving this trophy is honorary head coach Matt McClure. Man. And I was like, big cheesing. I'm like, yeah, first win as a coach, I get a trophy and I get to bring it home. Are you kidding me? I was like, I got to bring this on the Sports Hub on Monday.
There you go. That's fantastic. I love that. Now, I think when I did the B103 All-Star game, the only guy that could actually dunk was Ethan Kranholt at the time. I think he was the only guy that literally could actually dunk. So it was kind of a one-man band there. But that's good stuff. So good for you. So does this like commence your coaching career now? Do you go on tour or what?
I think so. I think we hang it up. I got the polo shirt. that says B103 All-Star coach on it.
Yeah.
Might need to get something to hold that in and hang it on my wall with this thing.
Yeah, very good stuff. So you can check that out on our Facebook page at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen with the live streaming video. So a job well done for our very own Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
As we get to the jump here, and this isn't the jump. This is completely different.
Yeah,
who snuck this in here? This is Ring Out Ahoya. This is my Marquette Golden Eagles theme song.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, how sweet it is for the Golden Eagles going to the Sweet 16. Yeah, Ring Out Ahoya. This is good stuff. When I was in college, we used to have this always on repeat.
Did you?
Oh, man. Ring out a hoya for old Marquette. Da, 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 da,
you know
go,
the words. Good job.
Go. Yeah, I'm not going to do it at all. Marquette, go, go, go. Yes, we are going to the Sweet 16. Tyler Kolek, great performance yesterday, and good stuff there.
How about that sweet gate or sweet little floater with the left hand
to
put that game on ice?
Oh, sweet shot there for sure. I'm happy camper.
You had enough of the song there?
Yeah, it was about over anyway.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't want to do that to our listeners for too much longer. But, yeah, my Marquette Golden Eagles are going to the Sweet 16. See, I said Sweet 16 right the first time. I didn't say Sodak 16. So even on a Monday morning, I'm going to give myself a couple pats in the back.
That weekend off really came through.
It did. It definitely helped out for sure. So the question is, now we are down to the Sweet 16. Is your national championship still alive in your bracket?
It is. I got the Tennessee Vols, and they won a close game. I got Tennessee winning the whole thing. And I'll tell you what, they needed to grind one out to beat Texas, but they're still alive, survive in advance.
Yeah, 62-58 was your final score there. You and I are the exact same. We've got UConn and Tennessee in our national championship. You've got Tennessee, I've got UConn. So as it stands right now, I've got 1, 2, 4, 5. I've got 5 of my Elite Eight teams still alive. I've got all of my Final Four teams still alive. And I've got more highlighted yellow than highlighted blue on here, which is good. That's good for me. And I will tell you, though, I didn't bring her bracket in here, but my wife's entire Western bracket after the first weekend was all aces. It was all chalk. How about a big shout-out to the wife?
Wow, that's awesome.
I was very, very impressed. And, well, then again, Saturday happened and things kind of went downhill. But, you know, that first round or so was phenomenal, so good on her. But my bracket is still hanging in there. I've got my national championship, as do you, and we'll see how that all continues to play out. But for all you Marquette fans out there, all, I don't know, two of you within our listening area, I don't know, but they're back in action coming up on Friday night, I believe, 6:09
yep.
against NC State.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. That's a game they should win, though, in theory, right?
I think so.
NC State's an 11, you're a 2. I think you could... You might need to be packing your bags to the Elite Eight. Now you got to play the game.
Yeah.
And NC State's won 7 straight. They were, you know what's crazy about NC State? They weren't even going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
They won the ACC tournament. They won 5 games in 5 days.
Yep.
Made the tournament and have still remained in this thing, 1-2. So that should be a good matchup.
Yeah, those are teams that you get really, really nervous about.
Yep.
Teams that have been playing, quote-unquote, March Madness and had to get to the madness first with just an incredible run. So that makes me a little bit nervous. But a lot to get to today on the show for sure. And one thing that I'm looking forward to, not only with that game on Friday with Marquette, is we've got Ian Eagle on the play-by-play. I'm a big Ian Eagle guy. But I saw this, I think it was yesterday, Jim Nance was wearing the Houston sweatshirt in the crowd. Of course, Jim Nance is not doing play-by-play this year. March Madness last year was his last year. But I'll be honest, Jim Nance not doing play-by-play in March, it's a little bit different.
Feels weird.
But I will say that Ian Eagle and Kevin Harlan have really done a great job holding it down.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are just great play-by-play guys on TV. I'm with you. It was weird not hearing Nance at all this weekend doing any games. But you said it. Ian Eagle, he does a great job holding the fort down as well as Harlan. You know, Harlan... One of the first games he did of the tournament was that 102-100 game between Colorado and Florida. I'm like, who else would be on this game outside of Kevin Harlan? Like, that is such a Kevin Harlan type of game. But he's awesome. So is Ian Eagle. They do great.
A pro's pro, I guess you could say, for both of those guys for sure. And With Jim Nantz not doing the tournament, though, there was a booth or two that I wouldn't have mind having him in rather than the people that were on the air, and I'll just leave it at that. All right, a couple more here. Thought this was very, very interesting. Of course, we've been talking about the whole, we haven't. Actually, this is the first time that we've actually talked about it. The whole Shohei Ohtani thing, is he betting on baseball? Is he not betting on baseball? We have no idea. Apparently, he's going to be addressing this sort of thing today. Actually, the audio has already come in on that sort of thing about Shohei Ohtani perhaps betting on baseball. Here's the audio right now.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby. If I had a problem, I'd be starving. I'd be hawking this watch, my championship rings. I would sell my house. I would do this. My wife would left me, or she'd be starving, or my kids would be starving. I do not have a problem. I enjoy gambling.
Wrong clip. I think I had the wrong clip there.
Okay, yeah.
No, that's Michael Jordan from back in the 90s.
Yes.
But what is the deal with this whole Shohei Ohtani thing?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's a pretty wild story. You know, they open the season out there in Korea, right? And the one thing we're talking about instead of those games is this. It's just, you know, not a great start to the opening day if you're Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers, really, because you just want to get out there and play baseball and you got this story over your head right out of the gate to start the season.
Did see a hilarious tweet, though, as he was on deck right behind Mookie Betts, and it shows the back of their jerseys. One says Ohtani, the other one says Betts. I mean, that's hilarious.
That's really good.
That's when the universe is just giving us golden nuggets, isn't it?
Yeah, it says, I like the little caption above it. He sure does, yeah. Illegally, too.
Yeah, he sure does, absolutely. And finally, and I texted you this yesterday, and now, of course, you coaching up the B103 tournament explains why I didn't respond to it. You're a busy guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're starting to turn the corner of the Caitlin Clark...
Hate?
Hate's not the right word, because it's overused. But the
annoying? Annoyance?
I got to think of the right way to describe this. The honeymoon stages of everybody loves Caitlin Clark is over.
Yep.
Feels like there's a lot of people out there that are starting to say, you know what? I'm not a big fan of Caitlin Clark. Feels like the honeymoon stages are over. Is that fair?
Yes, I'd agree with that. And that video shows it. She kind of was sitting a screen and chicken winged somebody. And, of course, you get the people on Twitter that are like, of course she gets away with it because she's Caitlin Clark. And I have been seeing... It's funny you mention that because I have been seeing more of that kind of stuff being associated with Caitlin Clark now. People are a lot more nitpicky on what she does on the court. I guess she was complaining too in the Holy Cross game, and a lot of people weren't too pleasant about that either.
It's interesting because we literally just talked about this 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. I said, at what point in time do we reach where people will start to push back on the whole Caitlin Clark narrative? And it looks like we've reached that part 3 weeks later. I don't know. But, yeah, she was complaining, looks like to her dad in the crowd or something, and he yelled at her to either shut up or stop or something. And it's just like, I think we've kind of reached that part portion where some people are getting tired of Caitlin.
Yeah, no, and you were spot on because you brought it up, and here we are 3-4 weeks later, and you just see it on Twitter and X and all that stuff. People are pretty nitpicky on what she's doing. You know, a little screen, you know, she set a screen and a little shove. Next thing you know, she's a cheap player. So it's amazing how that stuff works.
Happens pretty fast, and we all, well, I'll speak for myself. I was a huge Patrick Mahomes fan. Oh, the Chiefs are knocking the Patriots out of, you know, the team in the AFC. We're all Chiefs fans now, and now people just can't stand the Chiefs outside of Chiefs fans.
Yep.
So it's just like life happens fast. Life comes at you fast. And if you are disliked by that many people, and as you're a student athlete or an athlete in general, more often than not, you're probably doing something right. That means you're probably a winner, and you're getting people to get all worked up about it. So going to be curious to see how that all plays out and if people will continue to hurl expletives and I really don't want to use that word hate because it's so overused, like, oh, you're a hater. It's like, no, I'm being objective here. So I'll be curious to see if there's more of that kind of thrown her way.
Yeah, it's just bound to happen, though. I mean, I'm not, I like Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I'm fine with her.
Yeah, she she can pull up from the parking lot. She's a lot of fun to watch how she shoots the ball. And I was pretty locked in when she was going to that chase for the point record. But since mm-hmm. the points, it's just people are, I think, are just like, all right, you got the points. That's all good and dandy, but we're sick of you now. So we hope you lose. I hope they continue to win. I'd like to see them. I'd like to see a rematch possibly of the LSU championship game from last year.
Oh, man. That would be absolutely must-see TV. Can you imagine Caitlin Clark and
Angel Reese?
Angel Reese. Her name was always escaping me. Angel Reese stepping on the same floor. That's must-see TV.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. It was last year. That game was awesome last year. And I think you want to see that. Now, obviously, South Carolina might have something to say about that because they are undefeated and they are a lot of fun to watch as well. But, yeah, I'll tell you what, if that happens again, I'm dialed in. Dialed into that one.
I'm right there with you. We'll take a break in the action. Lots of local notes to get to. We have Aberdeen Roncalli and Aberdeen Central tennis notes. Plus, we've got a gentleman from the Hall of Fame right here in the Hub City. We'll talk about that. And a new head coach for the Aberdeen Central girls basketball squad. We'll talk about that and more coming up next. Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Great to be with you on this snowy, chilly, breezy 25th day of the month of March. 3.3 inches of snowfall last night, and it's mainly just the wind that we got to contend with here today. So if you do have to travel from point A to point B, always plan safe travels with our website on hubcityradio.com, the Safety Service Road Report page, courtesy of our Safety Services, your Western Snowplow headquarters there. So check it out there on our website on hubcityradio.com. Roads on your way in this morning, they're okay.
Not too bad.
Not terrible.
Not too bad. Once I got on 281, it was pretty good. Pretty clear. Roads were cleared up pretty good, but I was just messing with the wind. But my way to the 281 was pretty tough. They were working on the roads. It was a little bumpy, to say the least. Had to put the brakes on a little bit, slow down.
I believe that. I was on my way from Melgard here this morning, and Melgard was not exactly in the best of shape. And there were a couple of plows out there this morning, and they were shining their bright lights right back at my eyes. I'm like, what day is this?
You're half asleep.
Exactly.
Just like looking at bright lights in your face. Like, what are we doing here?
Man, that's a wake-up call on a Monday morning, let me tell you. Without any coffee in my system, that was pretty tough stuff. Well, the word just came out earlier on this last weekend. The SDI AAA, they have announced their Hall of Fame, the five newest members to be inducted into the South Dakota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association Hall of Fame. Congratulations to a couple local guys here, one still with us, one unfortunately not. But Gene Brownell of Aberdeen, and of course you've got Vern Smith just passing away of Gettysburg. So Gene Brownell and Vern Smith added to that list. As for Gene Brownell, of course a graduate there of Henry High School back in 1964 and NSU back in 68, his MS in 1977. He also served in the U.S. Army between 1969 and 1971, spent the next 49 years in public education, 26 as a teacher and a coach, and 23 as the athletic director there at Aberdeen Central High School. So congratulations to Gene Brownell, who has been added to that list there as well. And, of course, unfortunately, no longer with us, Vern Smith, graduating from Dubrook High School back in 1981, earned his business, ed, and accounting degrees at Dakota State, graduating back in 1986. Following a year of substitute teaching in Brookings, he moved to Gettysburg, where he taught business, computers, and PE, and coached for 37 years. Congratulations to Vern Smith and Gene Brownell. Job well done, gentlemen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Job well done. Congratulations to both of them. And obviously a tremendous honor for them to be honored in that. And like you said, it's pretty cool to see a couple local guys get that kind of honor.
Well, those are two people, well, at least one of them anyway, that's a little bit on the older side of things. That's not a shot, Coach Brownell. I'm just saying, you know, he's a little bit older than both of us. Nothing wrong with that. So on the younger side of things, the Aberdeen Public School District, they are excited to announce the hiring of a brand new head girls basketball coach. That would be one Peyton Burkhard. And she, now, of course, a graduate of Aberdeen Central back in the day, former student athlete. We'll have her on the Sports Hub coming up on Thursday. She'll be joining us live in studio. She helped to lead the Golden Eagles to state championships back in 2016 and 2018. Following graduation at Central, she attended SDSU, where she was a student athlete there with the basketball squad with the Jackrabbits. She is currently working to complete her master's degree in speech path at USD, and she says, quote, "It brings me tremendous joy to be the head coach of my alma mater. This is a great opportunity for me to give back to the program and community that has helped me to make me the person that I am today. I am beyond excited to get right to work and be part of a winning culture. I know that with the support of the administration, coaching colleagues, and the Aberdeen community, we can accomplish great things. The players and staff have a lot of work to do, and I cannot wait to get started." Close quote. So congratulations, Peyton Burkhart, back here in Aberdeen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Congratulations to Coach Burkhart now. Pretty cool. My guess is she's related or maybe sisters with Lauren. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. Lauren, obviously, only a freshman this past year, so going to be a sophomore next year. So you got that little dynamic there. And we've been talking about this team pretty much at length all year. They're very young. They're very talented. And I think now you bring in a young coach and Peyton Burkhart that can help with that youth and obviously driven. And I think it's a great move for Aberdeen Central. I'm looking forward to talking to her and trying to pick her brain a little bit about maybe X's and O's stuff, what it means to be back. And I think watch out for Aberdeen Central girls hoops in the coming years. This is somebody that's had success in the blue and gold, winning a couple state championships. She knows what it takes to get there and has done it and had a great college career as well. So I think this is a great hire for Aberdeen Central, and looking forward to this upcoming season too, because I got to tell you.
And just seeing the response on social media, feels like a lot of people are pretty excited about it as well. And I will say, and this is no shot at AA, but you only need to win one game to make it to the state tournament. It's not like Class A or Class B where you have to have a great, great regional run. Then you got to win the SODAC 16. You just get one SODAC 16 game if you finish in the top 16, and then hello state.
Yeah, no, it takes one game. And we saw it this past year. They were an 11 seed. Went out to
Spearfish. They weren't that far off.
Yeah, weren't that far out off. They started off 8-1, and I think the sense was, hey, we want to host a SODAC 16 game because Aberdeen Central, they play pretty well at home. They had to go on the road to Spearfish. They played a really good first half. Spearfish just went out and played good in the second half, and that was kind of an Achilles heel for the Central girls squad this year. Second half, third quarter play wasn't up to par where they would like to be. So it's a good point, Tukes. You know, if you can set yourself up in the regular season, get a high seed where you're a top eight and you can host, you know, you got a great chance to get into the playoffs or get into the AA state tournament. So I think Aberdeen Central, like I said, they got a lot of young talent on this team with Hermanson and Burkhart, Emma Dorr, who was great off the bench, Kennedy Withers, great off the bench. So I'm just looking at this and saying, hey, good, big expectations, I'd say, next year. Why not, right? I mean, you were one win away from getting there last year and started 8-1.
I'm going to be kind of putting some words in head coach Mikayla Archigo's mouth, whether fair or foul, but if I'm her, I'm probably thinking the last 2 years, what could have been if we could have stayed healthy?
Yep.
And that's kind of the element of randomness of just athletics in general, be it high school, college, pro, doesn't matter what the level. You need the element of great health, because 2 years ago, when their starting point guard went down with an ankle injury, Taryn Hermanson missed the latter stages of this last year. They just need to have great luck in terms of staying healthy. And if you can do that, sets yourself up for great opportunities.
Yep, no doubt about it. They actually did a pretty decent job. And we've talked to Mikayla Archigo about the health thing. Mm-hmm. And she thought they did a decent job this year remaining healthy. They were a really deep team, too, because they went about 8-9 deep on the bench. So, I mean, they played about 9 different girls, you know, when you look at the bench and what they were able to do. So I think they did stay healthy, but a couple injuries hurt them late in the year. You mentioned it with Hermanson, Airlie Waldo, the starting point guard, was out for some time as well. So if they can get some health and be able to stay healthy for a full season, this team is really good. And Coach Burkhart, they got a good foundation there, and she's going to take over and have a great opportunity.
And I'll take full accountability for that, because I even asked Coach Archigo about that. I'm like, wow, you guys have been pretty healthy this season. And then as soon as I say that, you know, a couple of rolled ankles, and it's just like, oh, man. That's the old broadcasting jinx. You never ask about a team's health, especially if they're doing well.
I asked a couple times, and
she kind of gave you that look, like, don't talk about that.
Don't do that. Yeah. And
it's
true. Even on the Sports Hub, I think we were talking to the offensive line coach during football season.
John Roy.
I'm like, hey, Coach, you guys have been pretty healthy at this offensive line thing. And you're like, why would you say that? Why did you just say that? Same thing when we had, for Northern State women,
Paul Kruger?
Hamlin, Schultz.
Oh.
Was it Schultz?
Oh, we had Bryn Alfson on.
Bryn Alfson on. She's been dealing with injuries. I'm like, oh, you know, you've had a pretty healthy year this
year.
And
Briley Schultz went down.
Yeah, and then, of course, somebody went hurt.
Yeah.
So, broadcaster's drinks.
Sorry, guys and gals. That's the way it goes sometimes. We'll try to avoid that in the future for sure. We'll take a look at the film and listen back and never talk about it again. There you go. Boys tennis from this last weekend. Aberdeen Roncalli, a nice weekend for them out west. They would take care of business over St. Thomas More, that is, winning 6-3. Singles victories from Carson Helwig, Palmer Johnson, Gannon May, Landon Zickmund, and Ezra Feichert there. And then cleaning the clocks of Spearfish, 9-0. They were all over them as well. As for Aberdeen Central, they would fall to Rapid City Christian 9-0, and then down St. Tommy 5-4. Central with singles victories from A.J. Prane, Dawson Peterson, and Eric Tennant there as well. And check out our website for more details. But a nice startup for the season for both squads, collectively going 3-1.
Yeah, no, and seeing that they got some tennis action in there over the weekend surprised me with the weather they had. But, yeah, great start for them here to start the year. And obviously that Rapid City Christian match didn't go as well. But I think they were pretty competitive throughout, just looking at the Roncalli side and the Central side. Very highly competitive tennis action here to start the spring season.
Talk about some college notes when we return as it pertains to Northern State baseball, Northern State softball, some college basketball from the weekend on the NAIA side of things, a couple local squads or regional anyway, both of them advancing into the Elite Eight. We'll talk about that with Mayville State and Dakota State, and at least the round of 16 anyway for Mayville and the Elite Eight for Dakota State there as well. Talk about that. Plus, don't forget our MLB predictions also towards the back half of the program here as well. We're back on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, as the weekends are starting to dwindle a little bit here for the Aberdeen Wings, as they were back in action this last weekend taking on the North Iowa Bulls and taking care of business each night, winning 7-3 there on Friday night and then 5-3. They've got their final home weekend, not this coming weekend, but the weekend following. I can't believe how quickly the season has gone.
Yeah, no, I mean, think about it. We're already in April almost. You know, next week it's going to be April, but you mentioned
week it. From today.
Yeah.
April 1st.
Yeah, week from today. You mentioned it, Tukes, there briefly, but took care of business. That's the best way to describe it this weekend. They needed to have that kind of weekend. They had a brutal stretch the last, 3 weeks, playing Bismarck and Minot, it seemed like, every other weekend. And you play a North Iowa team that, I mean, let's just be real, isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get 4 points, and you were able to do that with huge wins. You know, look at this 7-3 game. It looks like they got 7 different goal scorers here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what you want to see from this weekend for the Wings, giving you a little bit of momentum. And now you got a massive series against Bismarck on the road. But, yeah, it's crazy to me to think that they got, their final home games of the season coming up here in the next couple weeks, already in April.
I can't believe it. It's been very, very, very quick moving, that's for sure. One other high school note, forgot to hit on this. The Ruth Marski invite was held this last Saturday. That was down south in SDSU's place in Brookings. Mm-hmm. On the girls' side of things, out of 22 squads, Aberdeen Central collectively, they would finish in 6th place there. Taryn Hermanson would finish in 5th place in the shot put. And Lucy Fritz in 6th in the long jump, Addison Everson 3rd, Madison Hochstetter 4th, and Jaden Forsyth 5th, respectively. 3rd, 4th, and 5th in the triple jump there on the girls' side. Central's boys would finish in 12th out of 24 teams. And the highest finish there would be Grant Fritz, third place in the triple jump there. And that's a lot of familiar names from some former basketball players from this last winter season.
Yeah, you see Grant Fritz there, third in the triple jump. Brendan Phillips, seventh in the high jump.
Yep.
Colby Dowen, sixth in the 300-meter hurdles. So a lot of basketball kids playing a little bit of track, multi-sport athletes. We talk a lot about that. But I'll tell you, you know, Grant Fritz, he doesn't look like a guy that can jump, but he can jump out of the gym, and not surprised to see him have a big performance in the triple jump. He just he doesn't look like a guy that can jump, but he certainly can really jump.
Definitely very bouncy, that's for sure. College notes from this last weekend on the NAIA side of things. It was the round of 16, the quarterfinals on Saturday. Dakota Wesleyan, they would fall to Cumberland's. That's a squad out of Kentucky. 87-80, your final score there. Shailene Nagel had 21 points, not quite enough for the Tigers. Riley Rosenquist would drop in 20 and also snag 9 rebounds as Dakota Wesleyan's season unfortunately comes to a close. And same thing for Mayville State. They would fall to the number one seed of Dort. 84-76, very close matchup there. Mackenzie Hughes with 24 points. Jordan Strust, who has had an incredible career, just had kind of an off night there, just only 12 points and 7 rebounds, which sounds like a pretty solid night for most, but for her, maybe a little bit underscoring. But good effort by the Dort defense, kind of holding her down there a little bit. Macy Seavers, a team-high 22 points and 10 boards, as Dort with a nice balanced attack there. Also of note from Saturday on the college basketball side of things, Dakota State, they would fall to Carroll, 71-56. Angela Slattery had 16 points. Lily Mackley had 14. Sierra Watkins, a freshman out of Sioux Falls Jefferson High School, she had 10 points there in the loss, as the season ends for a couple of local squads there, Dakota Wesleyan, as well as Mayville State and Dakota State. But an Elite Eight run for head coach David Moe. We had him on the program, I don't know, a month and a half ago, something like that. And they have had an incredible run over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they really have. And Coach Moe does a great job with that program. And not surprised to see them make a run like they do. Just came up a little bit short, but I think a lot to build on from all these teams that made runs here locally. And I don't know, you mentioned it with Dort. Doesn't it seem like you're going to have to beat, in order to beat Dort, you got to score like 80 plus?
Yes.
It's just, if you're in the 70s, you just got no shot, it seems like. You got to be mid-80s to 90s to have a chance to beat them.
Well, you got the semis tonight. That's in Sioux City, Iowa, and Dort's taking on Cumberland's, that Kentucky squad there. So 8 o'clock tip-off, and if you get in the 80s, we always talk about the Northern women's basketball, or the Northern men's, I should say. If you hit 80 and above, good things typically happen for you this last year. And that's against Dort. You got to hit 80 to almost have a chance.
Yep.
It's a good point. But looking forward to that matchup here tonight at 8 o'clock. Northern State baseball from the weekend. They, of course, would play on Thursday. Talked about that on Friday. So they would wrap up their series, falling in 3 out of the 4 games against USF. They would win 1 of 2 there on Friday, winning game 1, 4-1. Michael Chevalier striking out 5 over 6 innings. Jonah Schmidt, 1 for 4 with a 2 RBI double. Wolves win that first game 4-1, then fall in game 2, 9-2. Drew Burkholder went 2 and 2/3, while surrendering 5 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them were earned, and also striking out 1. Brennan Phillips was 2 for 3 with an RBI. Northern State softball from the weekend, they would drop all 4 games, unfortunately, against Augie and Mankato, losing game 1 to Augie 4-0. Lexi Chase striking out 3 over 6 innings. Offense just couldn't get anything going in game 2. Kind of a similar situation, just held a 1 run in that 9-1 shortcoming there. And the Wolves would fall in a couple of heartbreakers against Mankato, 5-3 and 4-3. So the Wolves start off 0-4 in NSIC play, but only one of the four losses of the weekend, really in kind of one-sided, lopsided fashion.
Yeah, you know, they're going to have to score some more runs is basically what I'm seeing here. You know, it's going to be tough if you're scoring, you know, 3 runs a game. You saw that here to start the year. You get shut out. You only score 1 run against Augustana, and then you lose, like you say, some heartbreakers. But, you know, it's going to be tough to win if you're scoring 3 runs. You get great pitching, yes, but you got to get some run support, and they just haven't been able to have it here the last 4 games. And, you know, I think the next series for the Northern State softball squad is huge. You can't start off 1-5. 0-6. You got to figure out how to right the wrong from this past weekend, I believe.
Looking forward to that this upcoming weekend. Of course, weather permitting, feels like it's all weather permitting at this juncture with a really rough last couple of days with the wind. And it's more so rain down south in the Sioux Falls area, but also some freezing there as well. So we'll take a look at our full forecast coming up next on the program with our gurus from the Weather Eye Weather Center. And when we return, we will make our MLB preseason predictions. We can't even call them preseason anymore because the season has officially started in South Korea this last weekend. But we'll talk about that and more. Sports Hub rolls on, Fox Sports Aberdeen, final segment of this Monday. Tomorrow, of course, an Aberdeen Wings Weekly with the voice of your Aberdeen Wings, Jay Klein Connect on the show. And then coming up, of course, Wednesday, a Wolves midweek. Thursday, Peyton Burkhardt, new head coach of the Aberdeen Central girls basketball squad. She'll be joining us live in studio. But first and foremost, let's get to our MLB predictions. I know we don't have a whole lot of time to get to this, so we'll start up on the American League side of things. Let's go ahead and go with our division winners, East, Central, and West. What say you?
All right, so for the American League East, I got my Baltimore Orioles. I just think you look at the division, Yankees, Toronto, Tampa, good division, but I like Baltimore. For the Central, I'm going Twins. I just think they're the most known team. Cleveland's going to be the only team I think that can really threat them. I like Minnesota, though, to repeat as Central champions. And in the West, I got Houston. They won it last year. I know Texas is coming off a World Series championship, but I'll go Houston over Texas in that regard.
All right, interesting. We've got some similar results there. I've got also the Orioles out East. Just feels like they're just a little bit above everybody else. I've got them out East. In the Central Division, I'm going way out of left field. I'm taking the Detroit Tigers just because I think they made some really good moves in the offseason. And again, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I don't have a whole lot of time to get into all of these teams and their little bit of, you know, every team's offseason maneuvers and what have you. But I've got Detroit. I just think free agency and the trades kind of help them out a little bit. And I do think the Twins will make the playoffs. More details on that. But I've got Detroit in the Central, and I'm like you. I've got Houston out West. I just feel like they're even a little bit better than Texas.
Yep. No, and I like your kind of left field pick there with the Central, because that division, when you really look at it, it's so unpredictable with who you're going to get year to year. I'm just going Twins based on the fact that there is a lot of unknown with that whole division. Cleveland, what are they going to be? They were supposed to take the next step. The White Sox stink. Detroit, like you said, they had a pretty nice year last year. And Kansas City, that team was in the dumps last year. They're supposed to be better, but I'm going Twins.
All right. Wild card teams. I've got Tampa Bay, I've got the Twins, and I've got Texas, of course. You can't keep Texas out, especially after winning the World Series last year. I think those are pretty reasonable ones. As it pertains to the Twins, a couple of things that I'm a little bit worried about, and that's Sonny Gray is gone. Of course, he's now in St. Louis. They also lost Michael A. Taylor, I thought was decent last year. Kenta Maeda is now with Detroit. That's another one of the reasons why I've got Detroit. They also lost Pagan and also Joey Gallo there as well. And just a couple other guys, Miguel Sano. Finally, Miguel Sano is actually somewhere else. I mean, I don't think that's a huge loss.
No.
But he's gone now. He's officially with Anaheim. Dallas Keuchel and Donovan Solano are both free agents. They haven't been signed by anybody. Wouldn't be shocked to see them maybe bring back Dallas Keuchel just to get another arm there in the bullpen. But I still think the Twins, there are definitely a playoff team. Those are my wild card squads.
Yeah, my wild card squads are, I got the Rangers with you, and then I went with the Yankees and the Blue Jays. There's going to be two teams in the American League East that make the playoffs, Tukes. I don't know which two they are going to be. So I just went with the Yankees based on the fact that they didn't make it last year. Yeah. I think they're going to play with a little bit of fire. Tampa Bay, I have missing the playoffs. Listen, I just think it's like one of those things where, you know, the AL East is so stacked. So I'm going with the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Rangers as my wild card. And to your point with the Twins real quick, with those starters, they're going to need some young arms to step up. Louis Varland and as well as Chris Paddock are going to be huge for the Twins this year if they want to be successful.
In the National League, division winners.
Division winners for the NL, Braves in the East. I'm going with your Cubs in the Central, and I'm going with the Dodgers in the West. Central for me, Brewers lost their coach, and they lost Corbin Burns. So I think it's up for grabs. And, oh, by the way, Craig Counsell, he's going to the Cubs. So he's had success in the division. I like Chicago. That's kind of one of my dark horses in the NL.
Yeah, he took I-94 straight south. Or I guess it's technically – well, it depends on which route you want to go. If you want to go on 41 or 43 or 94, whatever you want to go, if you want to avoid the tolls. But I'm like you. I've got Atlanta, Chicago, and the Dodgers. Feels like these are teams that are maybe just a cut above the rest. I do think that – if there's going to be anything, some surprises as it pertains to division winner, I would think that would probably be in the Central. I don't see anybody unearthing the Dodgers or Atlanta there in the West and East respectively. But yeah, I just like Craig Counsell there with the Cubs. I think he's going to take them to the next level. They also got Cody Bellinger back. That's nice to have them. So I think we're both in the exact same regard there. In the wild card perspective, I've got Philadelphia, St. Louis, and Arizona. What about you?
I got two of those three. I got Philly, St. Louis. You know, St. Louis is a weird team because they were supposed to be pretty decent last year. They were not. So I got the Cardinals on the bounce back year. And my third team, I got the Giants.
Okay.
Just they got a new coach with Bob Melvin there. He said it was a lifelong dream to coach the Giants. I think Arizona's taking a step back. They got a lucky year.
They did.
I think the Giants are the third wild card there.
All right. My World Series prediction. Take this to the bank right now. Utilize all your futures bets, unless you're Shohei Ohtani or something like that. I've got Houston, and I've got Atlanta. I think that's a pretty safe pick, I feel like.
For me, I got the Orioles and the Phillies.
Okay.
I got the Orioles winning in six. That's a little homer pick, but... it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, if I were a homer, I'd go Cubs 162-0. But even I don't have that kind of guts. But, you know, I'm just excited that baseball is back on our airwaves. We'll have that, of course, on Thursday right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 3:10 for your first pitch, Twins and Kansas City. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. We'll talk to you then. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Colin Cowherd coming up at the top of the hour.